We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, October 29th, Halloween week. It's going to be a good time. I'm pumped. How about you, Roy?
You know, we didn't even decorate this year. My garage is a complete effing nightmare right now. And the thought of pulling anything out of the attic to do anything is like, it's not happening. Just flat out, it's not happening. But I did go to Costco yesterday. I could not find the boxes of full bars. We're a full bar house, and they did not have the full bars. And so I just bought a metric shit ton of candy, and the kids will figure it out. I'm still giving out candy. I mean, just because I didn't decorate. But and it looks like it's going to work out well, though, because it looks like we're going to start getting rained on tomorrow. And then, like, your decorations are out, and they get rained on, especially the spider webs are a pain in the butt. You got to wait till it's done raining. It looks like it's supposed to rain for, like, a week straight. So it accidentally worked out really well for me.
I'm not crying about the rain. That much is for certain. I'm Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2014.
I'm Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2015. Whoop.
And we have a ton to get into from this past week. No doubt about it.
Something happened?
I don't know. There was a little game that happened at Kyle Field this past Saturday. I was lucky enough to be in attendance for the third largest crowd in school history in front of a national audience. And an incredible second half performance. That's about what I will say.
Yeah, it's funny. Is across the board, the games weren't great last weekend.
No.
And Army was on a bye. So I'm just like, what am I supposed to watch here? Yeah, it's just an unbelievable atmosphere. The game, it's like a tale of two halves, man. That football game. That was... you're right. There's a ton to get into, so we may as well get into it. Why don't we start right at the very beginning with LSU players coming over to our sidelines during pregame stretches and getting a little lippy and you know, kind of bumping their gums a little bit. I saw that, and a couple things. One, I'm glad it didn't escalate, right?
Right.
Two, it really seemed more like it was them and not us. We were just like, what are you doing? Like, go away. Go to your locker room. Go to your locker room, or we're going to turn the AC off. I was really happy to see our players just really kind of their restraint, because stuff like that can get stupid and something dumb happens and all of a sudden you're missing a player for a game, you know, kind of thing.
Well, and there was a lot of jawing on Twitter ahead of time between players. I mean, yeah, there's always a lot of talk between the fans, of course, and A&M LSU.
Whether people between the players.
Yeah. I mean, you're seeing it between the players, and you know, this was a point I was going to bring up later, but since we're talking about it right now, it's one of those things that I think this weekend is really where you started to see a real embracing of this quote unquote rivalry between Texas A&M and LSU from both sides, because it's not just the fans that have to get into it. It's the players. And when you've got players pregame getting after it, postgame getting after it, it turns into a whole situation.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we have a rivalry. It has arrived.
It has arrived. The Gulf War, the Sabine River rivalry, A&M LSU, whatever title you want to throw on it, A&M and LSU do not like each other. And that was apparent.
And I love it. Yeah. I absolutely love it. I'm partial to the Gulf War. I don't know how that hasn't stuck yet. But
that was my personal favorite. That was my favorite back in like 2012 when we were first discussing it.
It's so good.
Great name.
So getting into the game, first half, we just kind of laid a stinker, quite frankly. It looked like we didn't have answers for LSU. Their passing game, rips off a million yards passing in one half. You know, you're able to get a touchdown with Le'Veon Moss, but you didn't see much life. You didn't see any continuity in the offense. And so I think it was easy to look at that game in the first half and just kind of think to yourself, where's this offense going to come from, man?
Like, yeah.
We said it all along. We trust in these coaches. We trust them to make adjustments. They've done it so far, but that was a big adjustment to make. Given what we saw on the field for the first half, That, and it's multiple adjustments, right? It's both sides of the ball have got to make adjustments in the second half, or this is going to get ugly, right?
Yes.
Like 17-7 isn't the worst halftime lead by or deficit by any means, but yeah, there's legitimate concern because of how it looked to get to that point.
You're not wrong. I mean, we watch the tape, which I made sure to go back and watch because I was in attendance. I got to watch the whole game. But going back and being able to go in, and I will say, if you have an opportunity on YouTube, there's a full no huddle, sky cam of the game where you
Never
can
done it
watch.
over again.
And I will say, with that on YouTube, that is a phenomenal way to go back and watch the game. There's no commentary. It's just the stadium sound, and you can just watch the play develop, watch how the players are adjusting the point movements, pre-game, pre-snap, everything. It's an incredible way to watch the game. I found that to be very fascinating. No doubt in the first half, you saw LSU just come out here and pretty much impose their will in the offensive passing game primarily, of course. And it became a bit of a slog in the sense that we were getting stops, sure, forcing special teams plays. Unfortunately for us, LSU's kicking game decided to take a break this past week because we were able to maintain and stay in this ball game. Yeah, the defense pretty much kept us in this game for the better part of 3.5 quarters.
Defense and the 12th man.
Yeah, and the 12th man. Like, let's not understate the crowd atmosphere for the night.
Yeah, when it comes to the missed field goals, the two that he actually got off and missed, I mean, those are long field goals for a college kicker, right? So you're not necessarily expecting him to make those. But you like to think the 12th man had something to do with that. An offense has a hard enough time, and they're a well-oiled machine. College kickers are not well-oiled machines. You know, they're not at their full potential generally when they're in college. The nerves are still there. You know, and you know, think about how many college kickers there are, and then think about the pros and the kickers that are in the pros, how long they stay in the pros. And so much of that also has to do with what's in between their ears, you know, and keeping their heart rate low. And that's why you don't see as massive turnover of kickers in the NFL, is because when you find a good one, you got to hold on to him because he's got the right mindset and he's got the skill set. A lot of these kickers in college have the skill set, but it's a whole different world kicking in practice than it is kicking in front of 108,000 people. They want to just absolutely are very intently screaming directly at you.
I think the thing that was so vastly fascinating to me, and because we saw it last week in another matchup that was very prevalent in the world of college football, we talked about it extensively. But looking at that Georgia Texas game, and you saw kind of a similar situation, right? Where you're down early at home, it's a big, big, loud environment, and there's a lot of pressure to make an adjustment, make a game plan, try to come up with something different. Well, you see a switch up in the quarterback position in Austin, and it didn't really lead to much,
No.
right? It just didn't.
It
Like,
kind of maintains status quo.
it did.
Flash, fumble, you know, just discombobulated offense across the board. And I think, well, in the situation in Austin with the Georgia game, you know, then you start looking at common denominators, right? Offensive line, probably. Although both quarterbacks creating turnovers that maybe weren't necessarily because of the offensive line. That's a pretty dynamic situation, but Texas offensive line is not very good. They're talented. They're wildly talented, but for some reason they're not playing like a very good unit.
They're not meshed together.
No,
Exactly.
and you're 8 games in.
Yeah, and that's a tough sell, especially when you're a top 10 team, you got to have those guys locked in, especially going down the stretch. But getting back to our game, I mean, if you look at what happened, obviously with the second half, we first half was definitely not what we were looking for, but the defense held, and you had a very good atmosphere on top of that, and you felt that there was a bit of a lull, kind of starting there in the early part of the third quarter. Connor comes out for two drives,
I wasn't
and
shocked at that either, though. It's a 10-point game, you know, if you make the adjustments, but it didn't work. And like all the credit in the world to Coach Elko, because that's one of the hardest decisions to make, quite frankly, midstream of a game. And he talked about it in his press conference. You know, if this had been Notre Dame, he never would have done something like that because you got nothing on Marcell Reed, right? But at this point in the season, Marcell having started a handful of games, you know exactly what you have with him. You got to try something, right? This is staying with status quo and just banging your head against the wall and trying to do the same thing. Like, we saw that for plenty of years here, very recently. All right. And so for them to make the adjustments, and then on the flip side of the ball, the defense played with their hair on fire the second half.
Absolutely.
I cannot wait to watch the Pulse this week to hear like it, well, assuming that they can, show the halftime conversations and we'll get anything more than the censor button. But
But I agree with you though. I mean, the second half adjustment on the defensive side of the ball was massive because you turn around in the second drive, force the first interception, and that was thanks in part to pressure on Nussemeier, made him roll out, throw a kind of an errant ball that gets picked off. And in that exact moment is when you pulled the trigger, made the switch, put Marcel in, and the game just the whole energy of the ball game changed from that point forward. It was insane. The entire atmosphere of the stadium changed, the flow of the game changed. Everything started with that interception, and then the very next play when we scored a touchdown, it was
then all
on
of a
for that.
sudden, and then all of a sudden, the LSU defense looks confused. SEC Shorts nailed it, talking about, do you have a running quarterback? Oh, well, then we are cooked. They just don't deal well with that. But I still think starting Connor, I can understand that decision, right?
Same,
But
yeah.
with the ability to make that change within a game, and provide that spark, and it worked, right? If it doesn't work, then decisions are always great after success,
Exactly.
in hindsight, kind of thing. But there was a huge disparity in throwing, like because we talk about the disparity in rushing yards, which is absolutely ridiculous. 245 to 35 is dumb. Like
Incredibly dumb.
that's video game stuff. But then you look at on the flip side of that, the disparity in passing. We had a real tough time the first half getting anything going, and then the second half, once you get Marcel Reed in, why would you throw the ball?
You didn't have to. And when he did, which was very select, we had two passes in the second half. But both completions, one of which was an absolute dime to Noah Thomas. I mean, I hadn't seen a pass like that at Kyle Field in a long time. Holy cow.
That was a fantastic pass. And we talked, I think it might have been when I was on the fan show. I talked about, the difference between, a little bit flatter ball versus a little bit more air in the ball, let the receiver, kind of play the pass, play the ball. And Noah Thomas, it looked like double coverage, but the guy between him and the quarterback wasn't close. He had him beat, and the guy over top was too loose. I mean, that's what you do when you have guys like Noah Thomas. You just throw the ball up and you let your wide receivers go up and get it. You find the talent and you let them showcase it. And that's what a lot of that completion had to do with Noah Thomas.
No doubt.
But again, you don't throw for a lot of yards, but you didn't have to. And so I was thrilled with, how we play. I saw a stat. What was it? Marcel Reed completed, in the second half, completed two passes to A&M receivers, and Nussmeier in the second half completed three passes to A&M players. Right.
Five total A&M completions in the second half, and we weren't the ones with the primary throws.
And I watched a handful of breakdowns from some different analysts, excuse me. And showing the picks from Nussmeier, and it's fantastic defense. I mean, that's the kind of stuff where you're like, part of it is these kids are playing free and they're getting to play a little reactionary football, right? Like, or maybe not reactionary is the word, instinctive.
Instinct, yep.
Playing instinctive football. And the other is you can tell the preparation. You can see it. You can tell they're watching film. They can, they're seeing things before snaps. And so, there's to see our defense be able to play the way they played in the second half, and they didn't play poorly in the first half. They couldn't stop Nussmeier from throwing the ball. It was really frustrating to watch. But what they did in the second half was just absolutely fantastic. I mean, LSU put up 6 points in the second half.
Can we talk a little bit about the defense for a second? Something that really impressed me.
Absolutely.
Two names I want to throw out there for sure. I want to talk about Torian York. I want to talk about BJ Mays. Okay. Torian York, going back and watching him this week, especially watching from the sky cam, seeing him kind of playing field general in the back, he was calling the flow of the play pretty much correct every single time. And they were flowing to the ball. You would see them break off and go get after that run, or they'll go out and get a pick. And of course, BJ Mays gets those two interceptions. Torrey York gets the third. And I mean, the coverage was outstanding. The pressure, which is so key with these type of quarterbacks, you have to get them flustered in order to create that chaos. And that chaos came out. That was impressive to see.
Well, and on top of that, there were some wonderfully timed blitzes and some very, I don't want to say unique, like they weren't like gimmick, but they were unique in the sense that just, a little extra twist to it, kind of a little extra wrinkle to blitzes.
Right.
But BJ Mays's interception out in the flat was amazing. Rubs the inside receiver, gets to the flat. That's that instinctual. He already understands it. He gets everything. So he just goes to get out there and play football and use his skill and his athleticism. And that's exactly what you saw out of both of those. It was football smarts and it was football skill. And it was him not having to think about doing things. He just goes and does it because he's done it enough, right?
Right.
So, but yeah, both of those players, Torian York started slow this year, but he every game he is getting a lot better. And
No
so,
doubt.
you're looking forward if he can maintain that trajectory. He's got, four more games, right? Well, at a minimum, this season to see where he can kind of end up.
Yeah.
But Marcel Reed, SEC Freshman of the Week, highly deserved. Coach Elko, Coach of the Week, highly deserved.
And Tyler White,
Tyler
Special
White,
Teams Player of the
again,
Week.
again.
I mean,
So,
he was averaging dang near 50 yards a punt. And you
net.
net, right? And we're talking, five total punts, two in the second half. And that's all we had. Those are the first two drives. Every single drive after that was a score. What? I mean, well, four st what was it? Four straight touchdowns and a field goal?
Yeah, four TDs and a field goal.
Sheesh.
Win a lot of football games, you do that.
Oh, you will win a ton of football games doing that. I mean, it was one of those things where LSU goes and scores the touchdown and make it a 5-point game. They went for two to try to make it a field goal game, didn't go through. And then you go right back down the other direction and score again. When you get the defensive stop, you go right back down and you score again. Like, that is the kind of offensive production that will guarantee you win football games. When you can take that pressure off your defense. In this situation, which I mean, yeah, defense was definitely on the back foot for most of the first half, but they were maintaining. And then you go off and you outscore them in the second half, 31-6 the rest of the way. That's what you like to see in terms of second half adjustments.
Well, they just put him away. And all the talk has been around, obviously, the QB position, which is, I get it. Like, that's what everybody's going to talk about. But
It's a big talking point, but.
there were so many other dynamics to that second half for it to end, for the result to be what it ended up being, as opposed to what it looked like when they all went to the locker room at halftime.
So, long story short, what we mean to say is LSU fans, you did not give this game away. A&M freaking took it in every sense of the word.
Absolutely.
I
No,
mean,
A&M made the adjustments, and then when A&M made the move at QB, LSU couldn't make it the adjustments.
nope.
LSU got flat out coached.
That's literally what happened. This was a coaching clinic
And quite
from.
frankly, our offense versus their defense, they just got manhandled. We were going to run the ball, and that's all there was to it. And there was nothing they could do about it.
Couldn't stop it.
Nothing.
Nope.
So great win. Now all of a sudden we're 7-1. We've ripped off seven straight wins.
Yes.
Heading into this week now, we get South Carolina on the road, right? Trap game.
Yes. And it's a trap game we've been talking about for weeks. I mean, this is a game, following up after having won at Kyle Field. Regardless of what the result of this game was going to be, it was one of those situations going into it. Okay, South Carolina. And then as of last week, knowing it was going to be a night game in Columbia. Those have never been easy for any team, much less, even higher ranked squads like ourselves. South Carolina, not a bad football team, right? You're talking a very stout team that can get on you and create chaos early, like we saw with the Oklahoma game, like we've seen with LSU, like we saw with, a handful of other their I mean, Alabama. These are not bad football teams, and South Carolina gave them way more than they were bargaining for, both on the road and at home.
Well, South Carolina's defensive line is amazing. Like, they've got studs across the defensive line, but the backside of their defense, like the top of their defense, is not good.
Right.
So this is one where, like, we're really gonna have to lean into the offensive line in this game,
Yes.
because if we're gonna throw, we got to have time,
Yep.
right? Now, I will say that They're talented, but again, you start dealing with a dual threat quarterback who can really scoot, like Marcel Reed. All of a sudden, when you can get these great players and these great edge rushers who are downhill players to hesitate, because that's what you're doing. They have to hesitate because he can take off, so it's the RPO thing. That's a huge advantage to in an attempt to somewhat neutralize, I would say, their strength. The quarterback's good. And the quarterback's good, and I get it. But I would say ultimately it's going to be our offensive line versus their defensive line will probably tell the tape of this game.
Yeah, and looking back at it, I think the most important thing we can do for ourselves going into this matchup is not allow ourselves to get into an Oklahoma situation. Basically, don't make big mistakes early. I think, there's going to be a lot of speculation this week about who starts the game, because obviously a lot of people are really high on Marcel Reed right now because obviously he came out and balled. You have Connor Wegman, who has looked fairly mediocre since his outing at Missouri, and a lot of people are going to be back and forth on it. Personally, I think for this game, I have no issue with us kicking off the game with Reed, because if we're sticking to the ground game primarily, that leaves less of an opportunity for an errant pass that gets turned into an interception or something like that, especially early in the ball game. I think if you can control the ground and we can establish that our O line can somehow, really get after their D line, that'll set the tone early for this ball game. We can get it going.
Well, and one thing I'll say is I don't believe this is a trap game. If you wanted to look at this schedule, 8, 10 weeks ago, it was easy to call this a trap game. This is not a trap game because this team has shown that they don't believe in trap games. This is a football game that they have to put, all of their effort into, all of their practice, all their film room. And this is another football game that, right, for them, I believe this is their mentality. This is the most important game of the year.
There is no looking forward this week, right? At all. I mean, you've got South Carolina. After that, you got a bye week, and then you got New Mexico State.
Yeah, in fact, you should be so wildly locked into this because you have a bye week.
Exactly.
So I have a lot of faith in the Aggies going into South Carolina and doing what they need to do to get out of there with a win. And again, it's one of those where you're on the road in the SEC. The place is it's been so it's sold out, right? They announced that it was sold out. Whatever you think of Sandstorm, I'll tell you that stadium gets loud and they are rowdy.
It does.
And so, when you go on the road, the best thing you can ever do is try and take the crowd out of it, and early and often.
They are a prime example of what I would call quality over quantity in terms of the stadium. It's not a very big stadium, but they do put in a lot of people that are loud and that they get after the other team. They are very good about that. So we got to go in there with the mindset of just another game. It's another road game in the SEC. You got to go in there and put in your full effort.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to a game there as a fan. So I don't know who South Carolina was playing. I can't remember. It's been so many years, but a place gets rowdy, it gets loud, and the tailgates, they might be in dirt lots, but they don't jack around South Carolina either. So yeah, but for me, this isn't a trap game because like you understand that the target is on your back. This is a road game in the SEC. You have a bye week after this. At no point should any of the players be considering this any kind of trap game or otherwise.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. I just don't. I know that before the season started, looking at the schedule, like, oh, there's a trap. So they were easy to point out just because we're kind of guessing, quite frankly, because we don't know how good South Carolina was going to be. We don't know how really how, you can assume everything you want to, but this season has shown us that every week you got to show up.
Yeah.
Because you really have no idea who's going to jump up and bite you. And Texas almost found that out.
Yeah, no, Texas absolutely almost found that out, and that'll lead nicely into picks here in a minute, but I think going into this game, yeah, it's very much business as usual. Go in there, take care of your business on the road. South Carolina, sure, they're not going to be an easy team to beat, but on the road in the SEC, nobody's easy to beat. So go out there and take care of it.
Exactly. It's the mentality of this is a business trip, right? There's no game before, there's no game after. It's this game and that's it. And to me, from everything I've seen and everything I've heard and all the reports and the player interviews and all this stuff, this team has that mentality.
Yeah,
So this is not a trap game. This is just a hard football game.
we've seen it week over week with these guys, right? Even in a struggle game with Mississippi State, we came out, we still ended up with a 10-point lead by the end of the day, did our job,
double-digit win on the road in the SEC. No sweat on to the next.
And you know what? When we won that first game on the road over against Florida, that was a big relief, because if you look back at our schedule with Jimbo Fisher, right, you look at what happened in those previous seasons. Well, we went almost a season and a half without a road victory. You know, that's
– yeah.
It's insanity. So you should be of the mindset, you know how to win on the road now. Just go out there and do it.
Yeah, it doesn't
simple as that.
No matter where you're going or who you're playing, just get on the road and go play football. And I think that's the culture that Elko has instilled. I'm a firm believer in that.
Yeah, I'm definitely. I reiterated this on Twitter earlier, but just to say what I enjoyed about that whole experience, I'm just so pumped we didn't hire that bum Stoops.
Woof.
After what he's been doing over there.
That's brutal turn of events.
Brutal turn of events, no question about it. But one more thing before we get into our picks. I do want to just make a quick shout out for all the fine folks at Kyle Field for showing up, showing out, wearing black, having an absolute party of a time. That was talking about atmosphere at Kyle Field over the years. I've been to a lot of big games. I know a lot of people like to talk about the 21 game against Alabama. I didn't attend. I was playing a gig. Heard it was a great atmosphere. I think about Tennessee in 2016, phenomenal atmosphere. Obviously 2010 against Nebraska, that was the big one for me. And in 2013 against Alabama. There have been so many really great environments at Kyle Field. This one was different. There was something about the air, and the crowd was so into it. It was so loud the entire time. I mean, I was literally walked out of the stadium with my ears ringing for the next day. Like, it was impressive.
My daughter said she and her friend were like legitimately concerned because the deck was bouncing.
It was. Yeah. We could feel it. I mean, it's craziness. And I'm seeing that kind of environment. And I think that's the biggest impact you can take away from this game was not just the impact of the environment, but what that meant to the recruits. You saw the guys on the sideline. They were having a hell of a time. Afterwards, they were all dabbing up Elko before they were going back into the locker room to go hang out. It was an incredible experience for those players. And I will say,
100 of them too.
Yeah. And to talk about, you know, the comment from Nussmeier. He's like, you know, Texas A&M, yeah, Kyle Field's loud, but it's no Tiger Stadium. He's absolutely right. I'm one of those people that these are two very separate things. They're two very different environments, but they're both great in their own right. But Kyle Field got put on full display in front of a national audience, and it was impressive.
Yeah. Just across the board. Then you see, we end up picking up three commits.
Yeah.
And don't sit there and tell me that didn't help baseball. Baseball picked up a couple commits.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
Again, we say it plenty, and it doesn't matter how many times we say it, it's still true. Football is the front door to the university.
It is.
That's just how it is. And so hopefully all the coaches were able to take some sort of advantage of that situation. I know baseball did, obviously football. But,
oh, no question.
But all right. Yep. 38-23. Fantastic second half.
Mm-hmm.
Really looking forward to South Carolina. Really
it's gonna be a fun game. I'm looking forward to it. It's probably gonna be a little stressful at times just because road games tend to do that to me. But
LSU was stressful and it was at home.
Exactly. So just
it's Texas A&M. It's going to be stressful.
It's what we live for, man. And SEC shorts this week with Aggie battered Aggie syndrome running around with us. I mean, that's how you know they're starting to really understand us in those bits. They get it.
Yeah, they don't miss, man.
They don't miss. That was great. That was fun.
All right, we'll run through last week's picks right quick. I had an abysmal week because I tried to pick a couple of upsets, and I'm just an idiot for it. So first off, with Notre Dame Navy, we both picked Notre Dame. There's not much to say about that. They just actually pasted the Squids.
Yeah.
Penn State travels to Wisconsin. You got Penn State. So Penn State was 6.5-point favorites. You had Penn State. I picked Wisconsin to make an upset, but that did not happen.
Yeah, Penn State pulled away pretty good there in the second half, especially fourth quarter, you know, putting up a couple extra touchdowns to pad.
Yeah. Next one, Washington, Indiana. Okay, I guess Indiana's for real, man.
Indiana is okay. Looking the part. And, I mean 8-0, first place in the Big Ten, whatever division they're in. I don't even know if they still
first
rock
place in the Big Ten.
Yeah, for just first place overall in the Big Ten right now.
Oh, wait, no, Oregon.
Again, yeah, I guess they would technically be behind Oregon, but they're a real team. Nobody's going to doubt that. I mean, you have a good Washington team coming in and took care of business against them in pretty convincing fashion.
Yeah, I guess Indiana offense must be for real, man. Next one, obviously, we both got wrong. We picked Vandy to beat the Sips.
Had we picked the spread, though,
Huh?
if we picked the spread, though,
18 and
we
a
would have
half.
been
No, absolutely no
fine.
way. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think we got to see the full capability. Diego Pavia getting dinged up. So
Yeah.
yeah, I don't think he was 100% coming into the game anyways. But Texas got some things to work on.
Yeah, and we can sit here and talk about, how the turnaround of Vanderbilt, and that's great and good. I think Vanderbilt is certainly a better team than they have been in years past. They're a very middle of the road SEC team in all reality. They've got a phenomenal quarterback. They've been able to work around him and use a lot of those tools. That being said, they were never going to be world beaters in this conference this year, but it's good to see that they were in a good fight with Texas and made it a game late. I mean, it had been a game most of the game, but really putting some pressure on Texas and making them think, hey, the rest of their schedule, there's some teams on there that I think would beat Vanderbilt. And that's gonna be a tough little sled in there towards the end of the season.
Yeah. Then we both picked the Aggies, so obviously got that right.
So 4-1 this week for me, I'll take it.
So yeah, you pulled ahead. You're 27 and 18. I just had an abysmal week. I went 2 and 3. All right. So kind of in no particular order. There's not a lot of great games this weekend again, as far as just how the spread is. And that's kind of what I'm trying to pick for these, is something that's supposed to be close.
Sure.
Close, or I think it might be a good game.
Right.
Even the spread might be a little bit bigger. So we're going to start off with a big one. Game day, I believe, is going to be there in Happy Valley. Ohio State's traveling to Penn State. Ohio State's 3.5 point favorites. We just saw what Penn State did to Wisconsin on the road. And what is it? Probably one of the better environments in the Big Ten.
No
You know,
question.
Madison is pretty legit.
No doubt.
We saw this Ohio State team take the number one team in the nation down to the last drive and really kind of screw it up, quite frankly. Question is, do you believe in Penn State? And that's where, and that's my biggest problem. It's in Happy Valley. It's at night, I believe, isn't it?
It's not 11 o'clock.
Oh, I got Ohio State then.
I'd say it's gonna be Ohio State for me because it's an 11 o'clock. It's a whiteout at 11 o'clock.
That's terrible.
It's not good. And I mean, because the joys of being on Fox, that's your prime time slots at noon.
Yeah.
Big noon
That's not good. That's not
kickoff.
good.
I'm with you. I honestly am feeling Ohio State. I mean, I think for the purposes of the playoff, I would prefer Ohio State get knocked down to extra peg. But if we're going off of reality, Penn State's just one of those teams that Ohio State is the monkey on the back. They've had a hard time getting him off.
Yeah.
It's Ohio State for me.
And James Franklin can't seem to get them past that final kind of, it's like the final quest, like Monty Python, like Ohio
Literally.
State is the gate. Yeah.
They will keep running out of budget right before they're about to invade the castle every time.
Right. All right. So next, I got Ole Miss is traveling to Arkansas. And so I thought this one was interesting. Ole Miss is 7 point favorites. But considering what we saw last, Arkansas has been super up and down, right? Which, and I think Ole Miss is kind of the same thing. Ole Miss at one point was, in fact, at the end of the first half. Familiar story, right? If let me know if you heard this before. Losing to Oklahoma at the end of the first half. And we're talking about an Oklahoma team that sucks.
Bad
Like,
Oklahoma team.
sucks. They're able to pull away. Ole Miss is able to win. But granted, this is in Oxford. They're not playing in Norman here. But they're able to pull it off. Arkansas just absolutely bulldozed Mississippi State.
Yeah, and that was in response to the game they struggled with LSU the previous week. So you know that they're feeling some confidence at this point. I wouldn't put it past Arkansas to win this game. In fact, I think I'm going to pick them, especially with it being in Fayetteville.
At home, I think one of the biggest problems with Lane Kiffin teams are is they're weak mentally. And I think Ole Miss at 6-2 realizes that they may already need to go ahead and mail in the season.
Very well might. I mean, if you're sitting at 2 loss, I mean, you pretty much have to win out and pray there's some movement ahead of you for even to get a shot at the SEC title.
You're at two losses and you haven't played Georgia yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a big part of why I'm taking Arkansas. Quite frankly, it's a Lane Kiffin coach team.
Right. I think that's fair.
Let's see here. Next one is, son of a biscuit. It is Minnesota travels to Illinois.
All right.
And so, well, it's a 3-point spread. Minnesota is actually 3-point favorites on the road at 24 ranked Illinois.
Crazy.
Illinois is 6-2. Illinois is not a bad football team. I got to be completely honest with you. I haven't seen much of anything when it comes to Minnesota. I have no idea. I do know they're 5-3. Let me see who they've actually played. Maybe they'll tell me if they're worth a crap.
Yeah, we can take a peek. I mean, in recent games,
So they made
Minnesota's.
they lost to UNC, doormat, lost to Iowa, lost to Michigan. They beat USC, which is not impressive. They beat UCLA, not impressive, and they beat Maryland, not impressive. This line is surprising to me. There must be something going on with this game that I'm not aware of. Maybe the Illinois quarterback is out or something. I believe in Illinois, especially at home. I'm going to take the Fighting Illini on this one.
Yeah.
I Vegas knows something though.
Yeah, they might. And like I said, once again, I'm kind of in the same boat. I don't know much about Minnesota. I have been paying attention to Illinois. I think Illinois is a good team. You know, they ran into a bit of a buzzsaw last week with Oregon, which was kind of expected. But that being said, I do see Illinois bouncing back. I think I'm going to go Fighting Illini.
Yeah, I got along with that one. Air Force at Army. Now, Army is favored by 22.5, but I just wanted to go on here and say I pick Army. Army's got the longest win streak of the nation at 11 wins. All right. Air Force is bad. Like, they're having, I can't remember the last time I saw the Air Force team this bad. They're like 1-7, something like that.
They're not very good. One and six right now.
Bryson Daly, quarterback for West Point, playing fantastic. There's an actual vertical aspect to their offense. Their defense is one of those where when you're slower and you're smaller, you better be smart, and play with all the effort in the world. Kind of I guess the Rudy approach, except for these guys are all more talented than Rudy.
They
So
lost to Colorado State. They lost to UNM. Those are two really bad football teams that Air
I've just
Force
never seen
lost
Air
to.
Force this bad.
They're pretty, I mean, they lost 31-3 to a mediocre Baylor team.
Yeah.
Army.
Yeah, Army all day. And I'll take Army to cover. But I mean, we're not taking the spread, but 22.5 against that team.
I can
And
see it.
at Mikey Stadium up at West Point.
Did you see? So the game is taking place at yeah, so the game's at home. Did you see what happened at the Air Force Stadium earlier this week, what a couple of Army cadets ended up doing?
Yes, that's a. That's so that's one of the most enjoyable parts about when Army plays Air Force or Army plays Navy, it's Air Force week, it's Navy week, and the pranks between cadets are generally pretty legendary. And so if you look at the Air Force, if you haven't seen this before, if you look at the Air Force Stadium from afar across the top deck, it says Air Force, just
In
in
the
big letters.
seats.
Yeah, and the seats spell out Air Force. And some cadets went to Air Force and added CH in the front of it, so it says Chair Force, which is what we, lovingly call the Air Force.
So funny.
Dude, fantastic prank, by the
Like
way.
the moment I saw that, I was like, that's incredible. Cause I've driven I-25 many, many, many times up that direction through Springs heading up to Denver. So you can see the stadium clear as day from the interstate. So you know there were so many people driving southbound, northbound I-25 that were looking over that, like those sons of bitches.
Yeah, no, it was a fantastic prank.
That's top notch.
They call them kind of spirit weeks, and they're called spirit missions when they go to police pranks.
That's
But
funny.
so that okay, so this brings us to the final game. Aggs going on the road, South Carolina.
Yes.
Big time game, big time matchup, sold out. South Carolina, I bet, is licking their chops at this game, just as what a wonderful opportunity, right?
Coming off a bye week.
We've got the target on our back. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for us, even though that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to know how to prepare for us. They got a mobile quarterback. They have a fantastic defensive line. This is going to be a tough game, and there's a reason why it's only 2.5. We're 2.5-point favorites on the road. Even though it was in Kyle Field, That game against LSU was a that's the kind of thing that makes you battle tested. And like you said earlier, going on the road to Florida, proving yourself you can win on the road, right? Beat Arkansas, even though it was neutral site, you're not at home. So you're putting these skins on the wall. And that LSU one was a really, really, really big one. I don't think this team gets too high on it. I don't think they start patting each other on the backs because I think they all understand that there is so much work to do.
Yeah, so this is a mission-oriented team. We've been moving in the right
Yes.
direction. We've seen how we've kind of adjusted week to week in terms of the locker room, in terms of what we've been able to put out on the football field. And I mean, these guys have shown it time and time again. Yeah. Are we a perfect football team? No. Every single person has looked at us in all these analyses, even after the LSU game. I mean, Joel Klatt came out and made his very early pick saying that he's picking South Carolina in this game because he's like, I think A&M's just not a complete football team right now. Yeah, sure, they have a running quarterback that came in and saved the game for you, but that's not necessarily going to help you next week with this crazy environment and a team that's had some time to prep. And I'm thinking to myself, listening to this guy talk, and I'm like, just the one quote keeps running through my head. Just win, baby. I don't even give a damn. Just go out there and do your job, which is what we've done week over week. And this is not a losing football team, and I don't see them losing this week, fighting Texas Aggies in Columbia.
See, it's funny. You were sitting there. You said you were listening to Danny Cannell, and like one thought came to your mind. And to me, that thought would have been, "I'm never going to get these minutes back in my life."
Joel Klatt.
Yeah, absolutely shocked you didn't have anything nice to say about us.
Well, and he's on the, I mean, he was on the show with Peter Burns, and obviously Peter's a little reeling because I mean he's an LSU homer, and but he recognized what he saw, and he's saying like A&M's a legit football team, and anybody who's been paying attention, we talked about this last week. A lot of eyes are going to start drifting towards College Station if things work out, and this is the ultimate thing for me in regards to what happened last week, since we're kind of wrapping up the picks here, but. If you look at what happened the week before, the entire college football world had their eyes on Austin. All of these celebrities are in town. Game day was in town. It's this
Full recruiting
whole
trip.
shebang,
Yeah.
right? All this crazy stuff, all this hype about how great a stadium that DKR is, how great these fans are. And they embarrass themselves on national television, not necessarily with the performance on the field, but with the conduct of the fans. You go
100%.
up, I'd say you act like absolute petulant children by throwing crap on the field. And then on top of that, you lose that game anyway in pretty convincing fashion. Now you fast forward a week, and now all of a sudden, that same time slot, Texas A&M is going to play LSU. And once again, eyes of the college world, football world were on us because nothing else was happening that week. So everybody's watching A&M in Texas or A&M and LSU get after it. And what did they get to see? They got to see an incredibly loud crowd that had an impact on the game. You saw a team that made proper adjustments, a team, an A&M that got slapped with two back-to-back penalties that ended up hurting us bad in a tough situation. And as opposed to seeing raining booze and throwing crap on the field and acting like children, what did? We got louder and we proceeded to force, because that was what ended up being the blocked kick, I'm pretty sure, was that next drive. Or not the blocked kick, but the missed snap. So it's so incredible because this was the biggest PR move that we could have ever made for ourselves as a school by winning that game the next week. And now everybody has taken their attention away from what's going on in Austin to being like, okay, what the heck's Elko cooking? What's going on in College Station? Because the water that we're so used to seeing these guys drink and the battered Aggie syndrome and all this other crap, it's eroding. And people are like, what is going on over there? That's impressive to me. And I'd like to see us continue to rock and roll that.
Yeah, my biggest thing is this weekend, just try and get the crowd out of it because to start the game, they're going to be absolutely insane. They are. That's their MO. Was it Williams-Brice? Williams-Brice? Is that what it is? Yeah, I knew it was something Bryce.
Yeah, Williams-Brice Stadium.
The dying cockroach, if you look at it from above.
A little bit.
But
It's a
yeah,
great stadium.
this is, and like we said, this is every week's the most important game of the season, and this one's no different. And the opponent is not going to be as good as the one you just played, but you're going to have to do it in a hostile environment. So buckle up the chin straps and go hit somebody.
It's all we can ask for you to do at this stage of the game. So I did want to touch on a couple of questions that we had come in because we did have a couple come in. I think they were both from the same person, but that's all good.
Oh yeah, I saw them. One of them was he asked, "What uniform do you think we're going to
Yeah. And if I had to make a prediction, I would say we're probably going to do a combo we hadn't seen yet. I think we're going to go maroon, white, white.
That's what I'm thinking too. South Carolina wears white helmets
A lot of the time, yeah.
at home. They always wear them at home, I believe.
They've worn black. They have worn the crimsons, but they tend to lean towards that white helmet,
Yeah.
like primarily. So I could see them coming, like ideally, I like white, maybe crimson. Well, like they're garnet, maybe garnet pants or white. I don't really care. I could see us coming out maroon, white, white, because it's a business trip. Treat it like one.
Yeah.
And I mean
Or
that's a standard uniform that we've worn for years that we haven't taken out of the closet just yet.
yeah, no, that'd be my guess for this weekend.
Now, as far as your second question, this is a Premier League rated related. So switching gears
Yes.
to the other football. Said 9 matches into the season now. Quarter of the way through the season gone. Is it too early to start predicting outcomes in the Premier League? Basically asking, are Forest going to make Europe is what I'm asking.
Oh, is that a Jive Coach G or something like
That is,
that?
yep, Jive
Big
Coach G back in there.
Forest fan.
Big Forest.
So I always find it's like this early in the season, it's so hard to make predictions, right?
Yeah.
I think probably there's a couple of predictions that I can make with full confidence, despite us not being that far in.
Sure.
Man City will be in the title hunt with 4 weeks left.
Yes.
West Ham will probably end up right around the middle of the table. Right now, they're sitting at 13. I think they're going to finish by 10 to 12 unless Lopetegui can figure it out.
Sure.
And again, these are predictions I can make because I watch them.
Yeah.
I just haven't had time to watch more football yet this year, unfortunately. I do not see Forest getting into Europe this year. City, Liverpool, Arsenal, I think are shoe-ins. The way Villa is, I'm so impressed with Villa.
Yeah, no, Villa's been outstanding this year.
Yeah, it started last year, the turnaround.
Yeah.
It's just, what's his dang, the coach's name? I can see his face.
Yeah.
Unai Emery.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, what he's done at Villa, I think, has been amazing. I mean, is there a chance at 100%? I mean, they're sitting seventh at the table, but you've got Chelsea, Brighton, Tottenham all around you. So those are, really the. It, but Chelsea, Brighton, like 5 through 8, I could see being a fight for the final, like Europa.
Right.
Not going Europe, not UCL, but I could see that being a legitimate fight.
Yeah.
And then I think it's too early to figure out who's going to get relegated if you had to pick all three.
Yeah. I mean, if you had to pick all three, I think just the way Southampton started their season, not looking hot. And frankly, Ipswich Town's one of those, like, hey, you just came up, so I could totally see you going back down. But Wolves are shocking to me how piss poor they've been.
Terrible.
Yeah, absolutely horrible. I mean, you got 2 points through 9 games. That's not great.
But don't I tell you, don't count out Everton to pull an Everton.
Right. I mean, they are chilling at 9 points through 9 games, like right on the outside of that barrier right now, but
What's surprising is some of the clubs that are down there, Everton, Palace, and Wolves being in the bottom five.
yeah, it's pretty wild.
Everton, we got used to that last year just because of the point deduction, but they weren't, you give them the points back, that's not where they should have been, right?
Right.
But Wolves is shocking to me. Palace is always around 14, 15. Every once in a while they'll surge up to 8, but I'm surprised that they're where they are.
Yeah.
But if I had to guess right now, I think Ipswich and Southampton are probably going down. I think you could probably almost put money on that right now. But from there's some big names down there. Leicester, Everton, Palace, Wolves. There's some big names down at the bottom, man. Bournemouth, Cherries are up at 11th with 12 points.
Manchester United with 11 points and a fired manager. You
Yeah.
hate to see it, but more than that,
You
you love
love
to
to see it.
see it.
Yeah, that match. That was an interesting match. And of course, Man United fans are livid because of the penalty we got to pull ahead. And I saw the penalty enough times, and by very, very definition, letter of the law, it was a penalty. But still hard that they had to go back to pitch side VAR to get to it. But I think the most important thing, probably for Man United fans, is ha ha ha. Karma sucks, doesn't it?
It does, man, but that's what we love, you know?
Well, and I tell you what, West Ham desperately needed that victory, and I did not see it coming against Man United because I thought like maybe they would play with their hair on fire a little bit for their manager. But it was not to be.
It was not to
So,
be.
and speaking of Jive Coach G, it's the Nottingham Forest Reds. That's who West Ham's got coming up next. They're on the road. They're at Forest.
Yeah, that ought to be a fun match.
Not the way we're playing.
and you know, of course, you know, speaking to my guys, I mean, Liverpool so far, I mean, really not a lot of complaints. Yeah, you drop one to Forest, but you've been doing pretty hot since then. You pull the draw on the road at Arsenal, which frankly for me, if you're drawn on the road at top four, but winning the home matches, you're doing all right.
Yeah,
I think.
you've got to get points on the road,
Yeah.
because you expect points at home, right?
Right.
So you've got to be able to pull points on the road. If you had to tell me the champion's going to come from the same that we looked at, it's going to be City, Liverpool, or Arsenal this year.
Probably.
I would love to see a surprise and Villa somehow pull it off, but until Erling Haaland basically retires, and De Bruyne, that entire roster is just sick. And Pep, look, Pep's a good coach, man. He's a
He
great
is.
manager.
He is.
It's just like Klopp. I was, well, I'm sure you are pleasantly surprised to see, a Kloppless Liverpool still, up in the top two.
Slot's been fantastic. I mean, he has come in, and I think I went and looked at some stats. Like for a first-year manager at Liverpool, like no other manager has had this kind of run to kick it off. I think it does help having the roster that you have.
Oh,
That
absolutely.
does absolutely. I mean, if you take a case in point, look what happened with Lincoln Riley over at Oklahoma. You were gifted an incredible roster of players, and you were able to kind of do good things with that. Now you're seeing the flip side of that at USC. But regardless, Slot's been fantastic at Liverpool, and I think he is a great manager, and he's been doing some good stuff, not just over here and over in England, but he's doing great things over in Europe too. So that has been a great reassurance as a Liverpool fan to see that, you know, the consistency will be there, hopefully. We'll see how the rest of the season pans out. There's, like I said, we're a quarter of the way in. A lot can change. A lot of injuries could take place, maybe some mid-season signings. There's a lot of things that can happen that will end up changing the outcomes of some of these top teams and maybe some of these middle table teams. So, you know, if you're a
Yeah.
Forest fan, sitting at 16 points right now, I mean, you're not that far off the top four. Any of them could drop a match here and there. You just got to take care of your own business. That's all we can say.
I think if Forest wants to end up in Europe, I think Europa is probably the realistically the best they could do this year, just
This
because of
year,
who's ahead
yeah.
of them, because of who's ahead of them. But yeah, I mean, strong showing from the Reds so far.
No doubt.
And what's funny about West Ham is they actually there's been rumblings about canning the manager. I mean that match against Man United could mean it could have gone a long way to us changing it at the Christmas break. It just
Yeah.
is we haven't looked good at all. So, but that's enough Premier League talk. Sorry, but I
Good.
appreciate the question. I do enjoy getting to talk it a little bit.
No, no
And
question.
West Ham doesn't play at the ass crack of dawn, so that'll be nice. I don't have to wake up super early.
So with this being Halloween week, might as well ask a food related question because we tend to do that. Your favorite all time Halloween candy, what is it?
So believe it or not, growing up, I really did like candy corn. I know that's it's like a cult classic, like it's a cult favorite to hate it, right?
Yeah, I liked it.
It's like everybody hating Nickelback, right?
Yeah, Creed or whoever.
Yeah. Man, that's tough. Okay, it's really like once you become an adult, what was free candy? Now you kind of center in on what your favorite candy is.
Right.
I'm a Kit Kat and a Twix monster. I love that. But funny, probably one of my favorite things to get there when I was a kid were the Smarties, the little
Okay.
powdery, the tiny Smarties. Because I used to love to just like open it up and just like dump the whole pack in my face. So when I was a kid, it was probably the Smarties.
Smarties are great. I'd say my youth, it probably would have been Skittles. I wasn't a really big chocolate guy up until later in life. So I was definitely more of a Skittles guy. I like Starbursts, you know, especially when they came in like the little two packs and you'd get a couple of them. My big one, I would probably say though, I mean, big Reese's guy, right? I love a good
Say my
Reese's.
daughter, man, she still is.
They're so good. I mean, the peanut butter filled, I mean, come on. It's good
Yeah.
stuff. It's hard to beat. It just one just talking general candy, that's one of my favorite candies. Granted, I don't eat a ton of candy. But when I do, it's kind of my
What
default.
was your favorite Halloween costume that you ever wore? And that can include as an adult as well.
Ooh, favorite Halloween
I'm
costume. I've had
hesitant.
some.
I'm hesitant to tell this story on mine, but go ahead.
So I've got a couple that I'll throw into the ring. So back in 2016, I committed to a bit, and when I say I committed to a bit, I mean I shaved my head for this. So I shaved my head down and had my goatee going, put on a pair of glasses, a little hat, green shirt, and had a bag of blue meth. I was Heisenberg for Halloween one year. Mr. White. And
Nice.
it was so funny because I was substitute teaching at the time in Navasota. So that was leading in right to that point. And on ironically, I was subbing a class that day. It was a science class.
That's
It was
funny.
perfect. I was like, oh my God, this is great. I walked in, everybody was like, Mr. White. And, like they started acting, they kind of doing the Jesse Pinkman thing, which that was funny to me. Oh man, as far as like other great Halloween costumes, I would say probably my favorite one outside of that.
Yeah, I
Man.
don't remember much as a kid. I just remember the candy pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I did like Sub-Zero and I was like Woody when I was really young. And yeah, I went through a few different variations whenever I was a lot younger. I would say since I've been an adult, I would say one of two. The one that I put together this year, I'm really proud of. So I was went
Are
out to
you gonna spill the beans on it?
Yo, I mean, I already wore it out yesterday, so and I posted about it. But
Well, yeah.
I was Master Roshi from Dragon Ball Z, which is a anime TV
Yeah.
show. But he's the great master that taught Goku and ended up being like a very prevalent character throughout the whole series. But he's an old man with a pair of glasses on, a big white kind of beard, wearing a Hawaiian shirt, shorts. Pair of sunglasses on is just goofing off. I decided to dress up as Roshi this year because my buddy James, who's listening, sup James, he showed me because we both like to buy a lot of the Roosevelt shirts, and they sold a Master Roshi style shirt, like one of his Hawaiian shirts with his like little pattern kind of like inside, so you could tell it was him. So I bought that shirt and I went on Amazon, found a skull cap with the hair cover and the beard and everything for like $30. I said, done, purchase, bought, get it over here. Threw it together, looked pretty good. I'll post a picture with it here in a while, but yeah. So I went and did that one. And then also Billy Bob
Oh, yeah.
from Varsity Blues. I have his jersey. I wore the hat, run around like puking Ray, just go have fun. With the
Nice.
outfits, what would you say yours is?
This is by far, there is but one. So when I was in DC, I was stationed in DC. When I was at the tomb, and I was more of a senior badge holder, we call it ghosting out. So once the cemetery closed and we finished training, the senior badge holders could leave for the night. And so you ended up working like 10, 12-hour days a month, pretty much, because of how the schedule works out, because you weren't having to stay overnight. And so I decided to get a job. I got a job bartending in DC, well, Northern Virginia. And for Halloween one year, they had an employee contest. It was a $500 prize for the employees. So I'm like, all right, we're gonna put a little effort in this. And so I find a costume store, but it's like a legit costume store. And I bought a bodysuit, I bought a wig, and I bought some other accessories. And so what I dressed up was basically just a big fat prostitute. So the bodysuit was like, it was like this black negligee is what it was supposed to be, and like I had these big honkers, right? And I bought some fishnet stockings, and I got like this D. Snyder wig, and I even got some little press-on eyebrows or eyelashes.
Oh no.
And I was like dancing on the bar and stuff too, like, and it had this big butt on it. And so I won the contest though. And on top of that, like I was getting tipped like a madman because they thought
Of
it was
course.
amazingly hilarious. Between three bartenders, I think I still walked with like 11 or 1300 bucks in one night. So absolutely worth it. There are pictures. Nope. Actually, there are pictures. I for some reason I can't find them. I've got to track them down because I would post that out of some fun if I could ever find it.
Oh,
But
sure.
yeah, that was absolute no brainer.
That's top notch.
Yeah, it was great.
That's fun.
And frightening because you have like a 6'5" prostitute.
Oh,
Yeah,
God.
standing and dancing on the bar. It
Like,
was a lot of fun.
oh, it's like, have fun. Please don't kill me.
Yeah.
That's
It was.
fun. Yeah. So, as far as our work this week, we don't have much going on. We're off for the weekend, so trying to figure out plans. Obviously, going to sit in and try to find the game somewhere, but should be pretty casual. Next week, we are rolling out to Huntsville. Going to go play the Jolly Fox out there. Then we're doing a kind of a smaller private gig in college, in Cat Spring. So we're going to go and do that. We were actually slotted to potentially do a little frat party ahead of the game over for Texas. But we're probably holding off on that because there's not a lot known about the budget and all that other fun crap. But
Yeah. Well,
it'll be what it'll
unfortunately,
be.
so Texas is on a bye this week.
Yes.
So in our bye week, we'll be able to talk about Texas. And so I do want to kind of that'll be something that we breach a little bit. We'll kind of broach that topic next week. So
Oh,
so
sure.
stay tuned because there'll be another game, under the belt, be a big one too. And we'll have even clearer picture of maybe what some postseason implications are.
Right.
So
And
it's it,
you're seeing the talks already, people talking about projections and okay, well, what do the tiebreakers look like? And it's like, man, we still got like, yeah, we're a third of the way into the season. After this next week, we have officially hit a quarter of the way. I mean, three quarters of the way into the season. It's
Yeah.
like we still got plenty of work to do before we need to worry about seeding because we're sitting where we're at and we just got to keep rolling.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Well, that said, for anybody traveling to South Carolina, have a great time. It's a fun town. Columbia, I really love Columbia. It's a great town. The fans generally are really not that bad in South Carolina. If you're younger and go and have fun at Five Points, I drank so much beer at Five Points when I was in recruiting school there at Fort Jackson. But have a great time. Don't get any fights or anything. Massive game, massive, massive, massive game. Totally looking forward to it. And happy Halloween. Kind of thrilled that this game is after Halloween, so you miss a little bit of that madness.
Yes.
Games right before Halloween can get really, really funky. Like the crowd's just even more energized. So glad this is post Halloween. But happy Halloween to everybody. Have a good time. If you're taking kids out trick or treating, please be safe. Wear reflective gear, have flashlights, all that good stuff. Just be mindful of if you're driving around Halloween night, be mindful of people that may not be having that stuff. Just slow it down in the neighborhoods, be safe, pass out candy, be a good person.
Yep,
And if you're
absolutely.
that kind of person, which I am every year except for this year, go ahead and just scare the shit out of the kids and make them earn their candy.
Have fun with it, right? Like I said, it's Halloween. Have a good time.
Absolutely.
Be sure to keep up with us on our socials. Be sure to follow us here, share, like,
Like,
comment,
subscribe, share,
subscribe, all
please.
that fun stuff. We appreciate every single time that you guys come in and comment and want to be a part of what we're doing here, and we're having a lot of fun doing it. Looking forward to our special guest whenever we get a chance to work with him coming up
Yes.
in a few weeks. So we'll kind of knock out those details and we'll give a little more information when we get closer to it. But as for the meantime, I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Beat the ever-living hell out of South Carolina, those bastards.
And happy Halloween.
And happy Halloween.